The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Okay, good evening. I had a rough week, although nobody who's listening should feel any responsibility for that. But unfortunately, this week came to my attention, as often does, so many different problems, and this particular week was blatantly clear that there was a underlying common denominator in, I would say, every one of these many problems that were under discussion and consideration. And therefore, I would like to share that issue with you this evening, in the hope that we might be able to better understand one of the important things that are going on, and maybe even remedy the situation. Many, many of our finest, brightest, and most sensitive, and probably more the bright and the sensitive, find themselves suffering from an enormous sense of pressure. Religious pressure, Jewish social pressure, parental pressure, school pressure, teacher pressure, peer pressure, all kinds of pressures. And pressure, you know, is sometimes it sparks response, but oftentimes it elicits a negative reaction, a resistance, because just can't take the pressure. Oftentimes, many times, pressure even leads people to, you know, it gets too hot, so they run out of the kitchen. And I think that it's something that we have to try to analyze the dynamic of it and maybe try to deal with it. The probably one of the most interesting discussions that I had in this parsha was with a young man today. I suggested that he feels tremendous, you know, as a man who's basically off the derech, young teenage boy. I suggested that he probably too much pressure, too much religious pressure, just overwhelming. He says, no, no pressure whatsoever. Nothing. He says, I just don't believe in the whole thing. That's all. I'm not under pressure. I never was under pressure. I just don't believe in it. And when I engaged him further in the conversation, he says, I don't believe it either. I know it. And do you understand the difference between knowledge and belief? Do you realize that knowledge is based on evidence? Knowledge is based on testimony, which, Baruch Hashem, we have to the truths of Yahadus. And belief is something that, for whatever the motivation or the emotional reason I have, I choose to believe and to accept. And he fought me a bit, but then he realized. He says, yeah, I know it's true. He says, I know it's true. I just don't want to do it. I says, why not? He says, it's too overwhelming. Too much pressure. And it didn't take more than a few moments to come from the denial of the phenomenon of pressure, indicating that maybe it was a little more deeply buried and subconscious and not even something that this young man was aware of. But it came to fore very quickly that I'm under tremendous pressure. And around the room, it was the same response. Yes, pressure, pressure, pressure. Our kids are much more take much more seriously than we may realize the education that they're getting and the upbringing that they're getting. At the younger ages, every word to them is absolute truth. In fact, their conviction of the truth and their conviction of the responsibility to live by the truth is probably sometimes stronger than even their parents and their teachers. You know, little kids, they really take it in. They, you know, they made enough an emes. They really mean it. But in the process, what sometimes happens is that it's so real, it's so true, it's so compelling, it's so imperative that it becomes so overwhelming and so difficult, and I just at some point I can't take it. And especially coupled with the fact that our children know, and the goal that we have in Torah, and the goal that we have for our children, and the goals that they sense in their whole education, are very high, really high, especially as the establishment has, as we have become more of the establishment, and the competition between our schools has become greater, and our families, and we've become much more religious, and it's much more of the in thing, so the goals have become higher and greater. We expect more. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we didn't expect that much from our children. There was a Choshev Arov, passed away a few years ago, who I guess in his youth, some 60, 70 years ago, he told me that his father wanted him to be a Rov, to get smicha, in order for him to remain a Shomer Shabbos. That was the idea. Maybe if he gets smicha, he'll remain a Shomer Shabbos. Today, we have much higher standards. And these standards are wonderful. And these standards should be achieved and should be desired and should be fought for. But they come with a certain price. And that price is this sense of need for perfection, for greatness, for the ultimate of achievement, and that just compounds the pressure that our kids feel, and in the process, sometimes they just can't handle it anymore. Many children react differently to pressure. Some, and they're probably mentally healthier, although maybe ultimately they don't achieve the greatest heights, they just let the pressure roll off their backs. Yeah, okay, that's what I know what my mother wants, I know what my father wants, I know what the Rebbe wants, I know what the school wants, society wants, I'll do my best. You know, and those kids will probably succeed, remain unaffected by the pressure, probably not achieve the ultimate that they could have, but in the long run, they'll be fine, they'll be okay. But others can't take that attitude. They're too intense, they're too serious. And Mela, if we were talking about something, sports, there's a pressure, academics, there's a pressure, education, business, even Parnosa, there's a pressure. All right? But we're talking about the Rabbeinu Shalalem. We're talking about the purpose of creation. We're talking about those things that are the most important, significant, and basic to our continued existence. This is not something that we can fool around with. This is very serious stuff. And that being the case, they just remain in that overwhelmingly pressurized pressure cooker, in a sense, that's waiting and oftentimes might just explode. What can we do to try to ameliorate and heal this phenomenon? It's not an easy question, especially in light of the fact that a lot of the pressures are imperative, important, beneficial, and different people have different thresholds for pressure, and we unfortunately have to deal with large classes and groups, and if we allow different things for different kids in a home, then we create some discord, and that this one can do this and this one can't, and this one more is expected, this one less, and creates rivalry and creates jealousy and resentment, and oftentimes that can be a cause of rebellion. So what can we do about it? Well, I think there are a number of points which are critical. Number one, we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of it, that when we see signs of unhappiness, when we see signs of non-performance of a kid who has the ability to do much better, when we see disinterest, when we see rebellion, when we sense religious cheating and compromises, unfortunately so many people sense today in their children, when we see that they're not into it, they're not happy about it, something is missing, they're going through the motions, it's like a mitzvah sanoshe milomodo, but it doesn't seem to have any passion to it. There's something missing. These oftentimes can be signs of, rather than a kid who's not interested, a kid who doesn't understand, a kid who's just not nice, a kid who's just not proper, a kid who's not just getting the message properly, a kid who's maybe being dishonest, a kid who is just bad as a Yetzer Hara, a mechutzif. Those used to be the diagnoses for most of our problems, that plus lack of zitzfleish. And rather, we may very well and probably are very likely dealing with someone who is traumatized by being so pressurized. And that has to be dealt with. So the realization, I think, is very important. I think that as much as our system seems to tell us otherwise, our children have to hear from us on a constant, ongoing basis that all that is expected of them is to achieve their own personal potential. That the Rabbeinu Shalalem is not going, Reb Zisha said it, he's not going to take me to task because I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, he's only going to take me to task because I wasn't Reb Zisha. That's very important for them to hear, even though the surroundings that they find themselves in don't always hint or teach or sometimes contradict this message, but at least if they hear it enough, they know a person has to do his best. And doing one's best and under the circumstances, there are times I couldn't sleep last night, I didn't do as well. I didn't have enough time to study, there was a family simcha, there was this, I wasn't feeling well. And all of these circumstances are mitigating circumstances, and they never should feel the pressure to achieve beyond the appropriate norm in which they find themselves at that time. And they know, did the best you can. And the best I can has to be considered shleimus, perfection. In fact, by the Rabbeinu Shalalem, we find the same thing. We find that a person is supposed to achieve in this world shleimus. He's supposed to perfect and to refine himself, his character. Torah and mitzvahs were given to refine and purify our character. Yet, shleimus is relative to each individual. A person cannot be expected to achieve the shleimus of somebody who was given greater kelim. I once heard from someone this concept of shleimus. Depending on what you have, maybe could be understood this way. If you have a 12-ounce glass and an 11-ounce glass and a 10-ounce glass and a 9 and an 8 and a 7 and a 6, each one, and fill them all up with water. Everyone is equally full. The 7-ounce is as full as the 12-ounce, except this one has 12 ounces and this one has 7. In shleimus, in completedness, in fullness, they're identical. Except this one has a little more. I was given a little more opportunity. I was given a little more kelim. I was given a little more incentive. I was given a little more zitzfleish patience. I was given ADD, and I was given ADHD, and I was given other things, and therefore that. But that's all part. I remember the first conversation that I had with my Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, Rebbe Penach Leibowitz, the Rosh Hashiva of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. First conversation I had so many years ago with him. He explained to me that the Balei Musa viewed this world as a laboratory. And everybody is dealt certain raw materials. And the work in this world is to take the raw materials with which I was dealt and the circumstances which surround them and to make the best of what I have. And that attitude has to be given to our children, and they have to be rewarded and praised equally for the best grade and for a lesser grade, as long as it reflects my fair, good, decent, honest effort. That's such an important mood to create in a home. There has to be an ability to let off steam, if you will, to release pressure. Sometimes they're going to get angry, they're going to get frustrated, they're going to express themselves. They may even speak disparagingly against the sources of pressure. And we have to understand this and not take offense and not attack them and not put them down for it. Maybe just to point out to them in a calmer moment, not bishas kasam, but in a calmer moment that, you know, you're really reacting to the fact that there's this pressure and you really don't have to worry about it because it's not, you know, it's not what it's cracked up to be, and we're not demanding or expecting of you any more than the decent, honest effort. Competition has to be taken with a grain of salt because sometimes the competition creates a tremendous pressure, and our children have to know that it isn't about being the best in the class. It's about being the best they can, and if they're not number one in their class and not number two, and they didn't do as well as the next one, that's fine. Sometimes, and I guess oftentimes, they have to be able to feel comfortable to talk to us about their religious pressures. Now, this is a very complicated issue because they're not comfortable talking about their religious pressures because they feel we will be offended, we will be angry, we will be hurt, we will think less of them and look down on them, and that's a big one. and they will appear less valid in our eyes, less respected and less loved, and that's something that they do not want to allow to interfere with their relationship, not with their parents and not with their teachers, Rebbeim, and so forth. So we must be able to give them this sense that they can talk about anything, and that being human is just the format with which Hashem created the world for us to work and to be able to perfect ourselves. And if we didn't have these religious difficulties, and if we didn't have this sense of not even wanting to be under pressure, then we wouldn't be normal, and we wouldn't even be eligible to achieve the achievements of life, because if it was easy to be under pressure, then the pressures and the responsibilities wouldn't be worthy of very much because it's no great shakes. Anybody could handle it. They have to see that from us and feel that from us. On the other hand, we have to be, giving acceptance and love unconditionally. But there's a problem with that. And the problem with that is sometimes when that comes across, it appears to our children, not so bad. So I don't learn, so I don't do mitzvahs, I didn't do, so I was, I did this wrong or that wrong. Like, oh, my parents are cool, everything's fine. There has to be a very fine line between letting them know that this is inappropriate, it's understandable that people make mistakes, everybody, you know, sheva yipol tzadik v'komloi, people fall, and everybody is human, but on the other hand, it's wrong, and it's something that we must work together to try to prevent from happening again in the future. And I guess that another word which would balance this unconditional acceptance is a sense of encouragement. They need acceptance and they need encouragement. They need acceptance no matter who. I love you and accept you for who you are, not for what you do or accomplish. That reduces a lot of pressure. On the other hand, I encourage you to do more. I encourage you to rise to your potential, and my encouragement even sends a message of my belief in you, which is probably one of the most powerful motivators, certainly more of a motivator than pressure. It creates its own pressure, but that's beside the point. But I'm encouraging you and I believe in you. However, at the same time, this is what I want you to do. This is what you should be doing. We have to work to get there. At the same time, I accept you and love you for no matter what you are, who you are, because my love is for you and not for what you do and not for what you accomplish. I think that we also, as parents, have to find ways to reduce the pressure on our children. Of course, the ways that we can reduce parental pressure is, you know, through expressions of love and acceptance, through a cessation almost of criticism and putting down, as we often tend to do to our children, because we're so concerned and so involved and so invested in their lives and their futures and their religious life as well, so that we have to be very careful, you know, to not to put them down and not to criticize. But I think there's something else that we also have to realize, and that is that pressure, the pressure of shibud in Torah thinking, is a very, very difficult state of mind, state of being. It's very hard. Shibud is very difficult. That's why the shibud to the mitzvahs, we get such great schar. Lefum tsaro agro. If it would be easy, it would be knap. No big deal. Why not? Anybody could handle it. And I think the Torah shows us many indications of how pressure has to be dealt with. One very simple concept is that we makabel the Malchus Shemayim, all Malchus Shemayim and all mitzvahs in Krishma. Malchus Shemayim, Hashem Echol, Hashem is the Melech, and then the all mitzvahs, V'hoyim Shema, the second parasha. You say Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim first, before Kabbalah so mitzvahs. Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim, which really is Shibud, obligation, pressure, responsibility. It's preceded by Avo Rabba and Avo Soilum. By Abichar Bam Yisrael B'Avo, we talk about Hashem's love for us. We talk about our need and the love that we should have Hashem right after it. V'ahavtes Hashem Elikecha. It's sandwiched between psukim and statements of love, both Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, his to me and mine to him. And it is not focused on the specifics of the mitzvahs. There's not, if you do the mitzvahs, you'll get rewarded. If you don't do the mitzvahs, you'll get punished. That's the next parsha. That's Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. First, we're mekabel, the Ol Malchus Shomayim, with love in the abstract, without the focus on the extent of the burden. And I think that this is a very profound concept. The Sipurno says the same thing in Parshas Tzitzis, or Isa Moisu, Schartim is called Mitzvahs Hashem, Vasisa Moisom. He says, we look at the Tzitzis, and we see Kechoisom Yad Raboi. We see that it's as if a person has the branding of his master. He's an Eved. That's all. I'm an Eved. What do I have to do? We're not talking about that yet. How does it affect me? There's no focus on that. What's my responsibilities? I'm an Eved. And that realization, I dare say, that who knows if that wasn't part of the kavona of the Shibud Mitzrayim, that we were in Mitzrayim and we suffered. We were Avodim. Then when Hashem took us out and made us his servants and was obligated us to his service, it became bearable because I'm an Eved anyway. If I was never an Eved, oh, gewalt, the Avdus, I can't handle it. It's too much. But no, I was an Eved, so he took me, and now it took me to a much better service. That's something that I can deal with. That's something that I can feel comfortable with. So we have to have this sense of sometimes if we talk to our children just about, we have responsibilities, we're responsible. We have obligations, not to focus about on the obligations specifically. In fact, we find such a thing, a very profound concept, I believe, in the Mechilta. The Ramban brings the Mechilta on Anoichi, on the Aseres HaDibreis, and says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecho, v'lo yi Elokecho Elohim Acherim. So the Ramban brings the Mechilta, Moshe LeMelech. The Melech comes to a city, and the people welcome the Melech and say, Gzeiro Leinu Gzeiros, please make rules for us. We want laws. So the Melech says, Im Malchusi iatem mekablim, hech tekaimu gzeroisai. If you don't accept my kingdom, my Malchus, accept me as Melech, how are you going to keep my laws? I don't understand. They asked for the rules. They asked, please, gzero leinu gzeros. We want laws. We want rules. It seems that if they didn't accept Hashem as the Melech, we have an obligation. In the abstract, it's an obligation. What is it? Let's not talk about the details. The details will become too overwhelming. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Too much. I have responsibilities. We're responsible. Hashem created us. We're responsibilities. There's a Melech. We're responsible to the Melech. He's the boss. We're his subjects. It's easier to accept it in the abstract. And then we'll first be able to deal with the details. And I think that that concept that our children also, if maybe we're a little softer sometimes on every single detail and shoot first for this sense of responsibility that we have a purpose in life. Hashem created us, and He gave us a formula to have the good life and to have pleasure in this life and happiness, which is what He wants for us. And that comes from this state of recognizing that we have a set of responsibilities. To recognize the concept of responsibility even before they see the list of 613 responsibilities and then some. And I think that if we're aware that the overwhelming, there's another thing I think to keep in mind too. As we teach halachic responsibilities, if we're capable of explaining them as benefits, it also mitigates the responsibility. It's not so painful. It's not just a burden, it's a privilege. We have to transform the burden into privilege. If it's a privilege, look what you get out of this mitzvah. Look at the benefit. Look what it does for you. Look what tefillah accomplishes for you. Wow, that's not a burden anymore. Yes, I have to do it. You know why I have to do it? Because Hashem wants to give me benefit. It takes the sting out of the obligation and the responsibility, and the pressure, reduces that pressure and transforms it and substitutes for it a sense of meaning and privilege, which is, I think, so much more appropriate and powerful and long-lasting, and so much less dangerous, because the extent of the responsibilities and burdens sometimes is overwhelming. Okay, I think that more to be discussed next time.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.